How many of you know the Word of God is quick and powerful? It is a weapon, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow. It is a discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart. It's so important in 2026 for you to be reading and studying God's Word at a higher level than you ever have before. Amen? On our table in the foyer area, we have what is called, it's the God's Word translation, God's Word for each day. It is the entire Bible, Old Testament all the way through the New Testament, and we divide it up in a little bit at a time so that you can read through the whole Bible 10 minutes a day. 10 minutes a day. And you read through the whole Bible in 1 year's time, 10 minutes a day, and it's not Old Testament, New Testament, Psalm and a proverb for each day. It actually starts in Genesis and goes straight through, so you can use it for a regular Bible as well. And I encourage you to avail yourself to this Bible on my table in the foyer area. You can get it in the bookstore for $120 plus tax. We make it available for only $40. That includes the tax, but this week I'll make it available for $35. It makes a great, great gift. $35 for a God's Word for each day. It's got great size print. The translation is on a fourth grade reading level, very easy to understand. And I believe it is the most accurate, easy to read translation available anywhere. Very easy to understand. I know many of you no doubt have it, but if you don't have it or you want to get another one, I encourage you to do so. It'll be the best $35 investment that you make. And you've heard me say this, I've got a limited supply of them, and when they're gone, I've got another limited supply, just so that you'll know, and I know that it will be a blessing to you and your family. Amen? Stand with me tonight in reverence to God for the reading of our text, and turn with me in your Bibles, if you will, to Matthew 27, verses 21 through 25. This reveals this message. Matthew 27, verses 21 through 25. The governor answered and said unto them, "Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you?" They said, "Barabbas." Pilate said unto them, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called the Christ?" They all said unto him, "Let him be crucified." And the governor said, "Why, what evil hath he done?" But they cried out the more, saying, "Let him be crucified." When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it." Then answered all the people and said, "His blood be on us," or it's translated, "on our heads and on our children." Tonight, the title of my message, and let this be injected into your spiritual veins: what will you do with Jesus? Remain standing and bow with me for a word of prayer. Father, speak to us through your word tonight, and then accomplish in us all that needs to be done for us to be at a higher level and a deeper dimension for you and for your service than we have ever been before. Lord, I declare 2026 will be the greatest year for every family listening to my voice. Spiritually, physically, financially, emotionally, mentally, in every area of their lives. I declare it. So Lord, I declare in Jesus' name that what we do with you will bring us to that place. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. The question here is in verse 22. It says, this is what I want to focus on tonight. What will you do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? Now, I'm convinced this is the most important question in the Bible. Because your answer and my answer to this question determines, think about it, whether you're lost or saved. go to heaven or hell, succeed or fail. There is so much that hangs on your answer and mine to this question. Hear me tonight. You answer this question right, I answer it right. Everything else in your life and mine will turn out all right if everything is all right between you and Jesus. But if it isn't all right with Jesus, nothing goes right until you're right with Him. Everything goes wrong. I don't care how hard you try, how much money you've got, what kind of clothes you wear, what kind of car you drive, what kind of grades you make in school, young person. Nothing goes right until you're right with Jesus. And listen to me. Now, the question, what must I do to be saved? You answer that question right, and that gets you saved. But what will you do with Jesus? You answer that question right, and that keeps you saved. You get saved, and you keep saved with what will you do with Jesus? And this question, what will you do with Jesus, is about the most important man ever to walk the face of the earth. Now, we're not talking about what will you do with the Assemblies of God. What will you do with the Church of God? What will you do with a denomination or an individual? But the question is, what will you do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? And He's the most extraordinary man ever to walk the face of the earth. Now think about this. At His birth, He was older than His own mother. Think about that. A baby that at His birth was older than His own mother. But this is true. Jesus was older than Mary when she gave birth to Him. And friend, Jesus was back there in the beginning of time, and with His hands, He created the universe. You remember what it says in John, the first chapter. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by Him, and without Him, not anything was made. In Him was the life, and the life was the light of men. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory as of the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This Jesus one day went back at the beginning of time, standing on the rim of the universe. He reached forth with the torch of His omnipotence. He set ablaze the sun, and it hasn't gone out since. He hung the moon in His place. He put so many stars in the sky that astronomers still haven't got them all counted. Then He carved out valleys and piled up mountains, created oceans and seas, and set rivers and streams hunting them. This Jesus, as the crown of His creation, He made man out of dirt, out of clay. Then He breathed into His nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. And then God looked at it. Jesus looked at it and said, "It is good." Oh, but friend, it wasn't good for very long. Because sin, that satanic ambassador from the kingdom of darkness, was soon knocking at the door of man's heart. And Adam and Eve fell. And the wage of sin is death. But God's only Son, Jesus Christ, looked down at a group of us people here on the earth. We couldn't even pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. And Jesus said, "Father, I want to go down there and pay their debt. I want to go down there and pay their debt of death." And one day, Jesus got into His jeweled chariot, rode down the streets of gold, through the pearly white gates, across the stairway of the stars. And as the morning stars chanted together, the Creator of the universe stepped out of His jeweled chariot, laid aside His kingly robes, and took upon Himself the robes of sinful flesh. The brightest star put on its whitest robe. It ran across the sky to point a finger at Bethlehem's babe and to say to the whole wide world, "Here He is! Here He is! God's greatest man, man's greatest God, and the only perfect man ever to walk the face of the earth." That's the Jesus I'm preaching about tonight. He is the one in whom the prophet Isaiah said, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive. And His name shall be called Emmanuel." Again He said, "His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace." This is the Jesus that is asking you and asking me in 2026, what will you do with Him? What will you do with Jesus in 2026? What will you do with His Word? What will you do with this prayer? What will you do with this fasting? What will you do with Jesus? What will you do with the power of God that God has made available to us? He said in His Word, "He that is not for me is against me." He said, "He that gathers not into me scatters abroad." He said, "No man can serve two masters." What will you do with Jesus? Now, the very man that asked this question, Pilate, and how many of you know it was God's will for Pilate to have a plan, a purpose, a destiny, but he chose another, he chose another way. Pilate was asking the Jews, what will you do with Jesus? He thought it could be neutral. Play both sides of the fence. Be the politician. Hear me. Nobody is neutral with Jesus. Nobody is neutral. You're either for him or you're against him this year. You've either sold out to him or you haven't. You're either hot or you're cold. Watch this. Pontius Pilate had Jesus on trial. But while Pilate had Jesus on trial, God had Pilate on trial. And what Pilate did with Jesus would determine what God did with Pilate. Now let's turn it around. You're confronted with the same question right here tonight. What will you do with Jesus? What will you do with him? And while you're trying to make up your mind tonight, am I going to sell out? Am I going to burn my bridges? Am I really going to give him my all this year? You'll find out in a moment whether or not you really have, because you'll find out. Takes a whole lot more than just saying it. But while you have Jesus on trial, God has you on trial. And what you do with Jesus in 2026 will determine what God does with you in 2026. I can know what's going to happen before you stand before God. When you stand before God, you can know what's going to happen by the way that you live your life. What will you do with Jesus? Jesus said, again, he that is not for me is against me. He that gathers not unto me scatters abroad. No man can serve two masters. Pilate made the wrong decision, and he couldn't live with it. He soon lost his governorship and banished out of Judea. He was into the southern regions of France, and tradition has it, he committed suicide. And he probably went to his grave still trying to wash his hands of the guilt and the shame and the sin of a man who wouldn't take a stand. He wouldn't take a stand. And tonight, if we could close this service by opening up the gates of hell and looking in on the doom, the damned, the many people that have gone into eternity without God, no doubt we would see Pontius Pilate right now, down in hell, still trying to wash his hands. No doubt Pontius Pilate went to hell as a man miserable because they made the wrong decision and he couldn't live with it. Are you going to make the wrong decisions in 2026? You've got to be as close to God as you can. We're living in the last of the days before the Lord returns. Who else made the wrong decision in this story? The Jews. The people that Pilate was asking the question of. The Jews. What will you do with Jesus? They said, let his blood be on our heads. We can live with this decision. Let his blood be on our heads. They couldn't live with that decision. They did not say, watch this, the Jews did not say, let his blood be on our hearts. If the Jews would have cried out for Jesus' blood on their hearts, he could have washed their dirty sins away, and he would have. But that's not what they wanted. And the Jews cried out, they said, let his blood be on our heads. And it wasn't long after that until the whole nation of Israel were scattered into the four corners of the earth. They became a hunted and a hated nation, looked upon with suspicion as a result of their decision. They made the wrong decision and they could not live with it. Hear me, you pay for it when you make the wrong decision. Are you getting my point, young man? Are you getting my point, young lady? Sir, ma'am, when you make the right decision and when you make the wrong decision, everything else in your life, even a nation and government, America, everything's affected, can be affected as a result of one decision. Now, who else made the wrong decision? I want you to look at one other person in this story. And that is Judas Iscariot. How many of you know God had a plan for Pilate? He had a plan for Pilate. God had a plan for the Jews. He still does. Did you know that God also had a plan for Judas Iscariot? He did. He gave him every chance in the world. But I want you to look at Judas Iscariot tonight. Not only because I want you to see beyond Judas and see Jesus. Not only because I want you to see beyond any pastor or evangelist or Christian leader, even of recent, that has fallen into sin and see Jesus. I want you to look at Judas tonight as a man that Jesus chose and handpicked. Did you know Jesus spent all night praying when he chose the 12 disciples? He didn't make a mistake. Judas was chosen after an all-night prayer meeting. He was with the Lord. He walked with him, talked with him, ate with him, prayed with him. Judas probably heard every sermon that Jesus ever preached. He probably went to church for every one of the 21 days of fasting and prayer. But something happened to Judas. Satan came into his heart, and Judas Iscariot sold out to sin, to self, to Satan. He sold out. I want you to read it with me in your own Bible. Flip back one page from your text to Matthew 26, verses 14 through 16. Here's what it says. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went into the chief priests and said unto them, watch this, listen to this question. Judas said, what will you give me? What will you give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. Judas said to the religious leaders, he said, what will you give me? And I will deliver Jesus to you. He wanted to sell out Jesus. Oh, he wanted to get what he could out of him. The love and the lust for money. The glitter of gold, the clank of silver, this desire for material possessions is what got to Judas. That was his downfall. And Judas Iscariot bargained with the devil's crowd for 30 pieces of silver and betrayed our Lord and Savior. Now today, we may condemn him, call him a scoundrel, call him a rascal, call him a reprobate. But before you start calling him anything, you and I may examine and find that we have more of Judas's blood in ways in us in 2026. How many of us have sold out Jesus? How many people have sold out Jesus with their time? I know people that can name you 12 ball players, 12 TV stars, 12 movie stars, and the same people can't name you the 12 disciples. I know people, and you do too, that they'll sit down in front of the television set for 4 and 5 hours in one evening, watch one program after another. Would they come to the house of God for four or five hours? Wouldn't even think about that. Many people, you think that when they die, they were going to go to Hollywood instead of heaven. We've sold out our time. And we've sold out our talents. How many people that God called them to preach, but they're not preaching? They're doing something worldly. How many singers do you know that were called to sing for the Lord, and yet they're using their talents to draw attention to themselves in the secular world? Listen, because many times it's because there's more money doing that. Now listen, when you get in the ministry, you've got to forget about the pay. And the pay may not be, and it isn't that good on the world standards, but hear me, the fringe benefits are out of this world. They're out of this world. There's something better than gold and silver and dollars and material possessions. What will you give me, and I will deliver Jesus to you? I want to zero in on one more area tonight, and that is this, the money part. The love and the lust for money. And you may say, well, Brother Todd, I don't have a love and a lust for money. But listen to me. If you have a love and a lust for material possessions that money can buy, that's the same thing as a love and a lust for money. And there are people that are never satisfied with what they have. They've got to have a better house, better clothes, better car. Now, there's nothing wrong with any of those items at all, because God blesses his people. There's nothing wrong with those things unless you're using God's money to buy them with. If you're using your tithe or the money that you're supposed to be giving to God for yourself, you're in trouble. We are in trouble when we use God's money to run from him or to buy material possessions. All through the Bible, God said tithe. Nobody gives tithe. Did you know that? You can't give something that doesn't belong to you. You don't give your car payments, you pay it. You don't give your house payments, you pay it. You don't give your tithe, you pay your tithe. I pay tithe, you pay tithe, and And Judas Iscariot was one of the forerunners of those who tried to rob God. I heard about a man that came up to his pastor. He said, "Preacher," he said, "I don't know what I'm going to do." He said, I can't pay my bills. I can't put food on the table. He said, I'm in such trouble. I needed to come to you for a counseling session." The pastor looked at him. He said, "Well, have you been tithing?" He said, "No, I haven't." He said, "Well, that's a big part of your problem right there." He said, "If you'll promise God 10% of your income and then keep that promise," he said, "God will get you out of this financial dilemma." He said, "Well, I've tried everything else." He said, "I'll try it." So he got down on his knees and he made that promise to God. He promised God 10%. He said, "I make $100 a week right now." And he said, "That's not cutting it." He said, "I promise God 10%, $10 a week." So he made that promise to God. 6 months later, he came running back to his pastor. He said, "Preacher," he said, "you're not going to believe this." He said, "When I started tithing, I was making $100 a week and my tithe was 10. He said, "Now," he said, "I'm making $1,000 a week and my tithe is as much as what I used to make." He said, "But preacher," he said, "don't you think that's a little much to be for me to be putting in the offering plate each week?" He said, "Isn't there any way that I can get out of this?" The pastor thought about it and he said, "Well, no." He said, "You made a promise to God. You've got to keep that promise." He said, "But I'll tell you what we can do." He said, "We can get back down on our knees and pray and ask God to shrink your income so your tithe won't be so much." He said, "No, thank you, preacher." He said, "I think I'll leave it right where it is. Don't rob God. Tithe and give your offerings." I had a teenager come up to me after a revival service, and this teenager said, "Brother Todd," he said, "I've tried tithing and it doesn't work for me." I said, "Well, how long have you been tithing?" He said, "Well, for quite a long time." And I said, "Well, just how long have you been tithing?" He said, "Well," he said, "for almost 30 days. Now, friend, you can't plant corn one day and have roasted ears the next. You've got to give God time to see that you mean business about this." I found out that many times it'll take as long as 6 months or longer before you really begin to reap the benefits of tithing. And listen, if you're not tithing, you may say, "Well, I can't afford to tithe." But if you'll try it for 6 months or longer, I guarantee you'll come back and say, "You can't afford not to," because you'll find out it's the best financial insurance you can take out is to tithe. Be honest with God in your tithing and your giving in 2026. But then Judas Iscariot, he soon got fever of the mind and cancer of the heart. He made a deal with the devil and then he wanted to trade back. He made a decision that he couldn't live with. Are you hearing me? Judas made a deal with the devil, but then he wanted to trade back. But Judas found out something that some of us have not found out yet. When you make a deal with the devil, he never trades back. He never does. He'll break up your home, but he won't help you put it back together. The devil will steal your money, but he won't help you make any money. The devil will destroy your physical body, but he won't heal it. The devil will get you kicked out of school, young person, but the devil won't help you finish your education. The devil will try to destroy your ministry, but he won't help restore you. You see, the devil is a liar. He's a deceiver. He's the one that makes deals, but he never trades back. He never does. Judas learned it the hard way. Watch what happened to him. Remember, God had a plan for Judas. So Judas, after he betrayed the devil, after he betrayed Jesus, and he realized what he'd done, he brought that 30 pieces of silver. You remember what he did with it? He threw it at the feet of the chief priest, and he said to them, to the chief priest, he said, "I have sinned." He said, "I've betrayed innocent blood." He said, "See thou to that." They said, "We could care less." And Judas Iscariot went from there to the field of accountment and hanged himself. Like Pilate, like the Jews, Judas made the wrong decision, and he couldn't live with it. What about you in 2026? Are you going to make the right decisions? Think about this. Judas went to the wrong person to say, "I've sinned." You see that? Judas, instead of going to those religious leaders, those chief priests, to say, I've sinned, he could have gone to Jesus hanging on that cross. Do you realize that's what was taking place at the same time? At the same time that Judas bought that 30 pieces of silver and threw it at the feet of the chief priest and said, I've sinned, at the same time, Jesus was being tried then crucified on an old rugged cross. Wouldn't it have been something wonderful if Judas would have gone to Jesus hanging on that middle cross to say, I've sinned, instead of going to those religious leaders? He could have. And oh, I wish that he would have. I wish that Judas Iscariot, instead of going to those religious people to say, I've sinned, I wish that Judas would have ran as fast as his feet would have carried him. He would have ran up Calvary's hill. He would have climbed up on top of the hill of Golgotha. That Judas would have run to that middle cross. And that Judas would have fallen on his knees at the foot of that middle cross. And would have looked up into the face of Jesus and would have said, Master, I betrayed you. Would you forgive me? You know that if Judas would have gone to Jesus to say, I've sinned, Jesus would have forgiven him. Jesus would have looked into his face. With his dying breath, Jesus would have said, I hear your prayer. Judas, I see your heart. I love you, Judas. I forgive you. If that would have happened, Judas could be in heaven right now. But it didn't happen that way. He made the wrong decision. How about us that many times we've made the wrong decision? When we've chosen our money to go towards ourselves instead of the master. When we've chosen to use our time for television and movies and sports activities when we haven't spent any time with the Lord. None of us are perfect. There's not but what every day we all need to be on our face before God saying, God, I've done things and I failed to do things. And I can assure you, Jesus is a whole lot more anxious to forgive us than we are to be forgiven. And he not only wants to forgive us tonight, but he wants you to answer that question, what will you do with him so that you can be closer to him than you've ever been before? So that you can move in the spiritual gifts that God has called you to. Listen to me. All nine of the gifts of the Spirit are available to you. And what you do with Jesus with regard to his Holy Spirit is so important for you to allow the Holy Spirit to flow through you in its fullness in Jesus' name. What will you do with Jesus tonight? Hear me. He loves you. He has a plan, a purpose, a destiny for you, a calling for you. And he wants to bring you into the fullness of everything that he has for you. Bow your heads, close your eyes, open your hearts. Listen to these lines. I stood alone at the judgment bar in the hush of the twilight dim. I faced the question that pierced my heart. What will you do with him? Crowned or crucified, he seemed to say, for or against me, choose you this day. I believe there are some here tonight that you perhaps have been a whole lot like Judas, more than you've been willing to admit. Now then, tonight, it's time for us to not only die for him, be willing to die for him, but to live for him. In 2026, to come into the fullness of everything that he has, that he wants to bring you into. That question for 2026, let it ring in your ears and in your heart tonight. What will you do with Jesus with regard to his word? What will you do with Jesus with regard to your daily prayer time? What will you do with Jesus with regard to your disciplined fasting? What will you do with Jesus with regard to allowing the Holy Spirit to flow through you and for you to come into the fullness of operating in the gifts of the Spirit to be the man and the woman of God, the young person that God has called you and set you apart to be. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now look right up here.